Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nidhi Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschadyari Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
May I request you to also close this window. This window we can leave open. This morning I was explaining to you that the foundation of our Krishna conscious practice, including chanting of course, is a certain understanding that we are Brahmasmi or spiritual. Prabhupada said in a lecture, a nectar of devotion, Krishna consciousness means that one is not identifying himself with this material body. He is identifying himself in his original constitutional position, Aham Brahmasmi. I am Krishna's, I am God's, I am part and parcel of God. And Prabhupada says that at the present moment, we think I'm an Indian, I'm a Brahmana, I'm a Shudra, I'm this, I'm that. Obviously we think we are men, we are women. And our whole consciousness is circulating around these wrong identifications. But Krishna consciousness means I am Krishna's. Aham Brahmasmi. Soham. They say that everyone is born with a mantra in his mouth. This mantra is Soham. If you breathe in and out, you will see that the inhaling breath sounds like so or sa, and the exhaling like a hum. So hum. I am that. I am a soul. This is how everyone is born. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Would you like to try to breathe in and see? And then you have to meditate about or think about the syllable so. And when you breathe out, do a few breaths like this. And as you think, continue. As you breathe in and out. You understand, I am a soul. How? What does the devotee say? It is a relieving and releasing. No? I am as good as Krishna. Or I am Krishna's. I am eternal servant of Krishna. This consciousness is required to invoke. That is the prime objective of human life. So So this is a very, very ecstatic excerpt from a lecture of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Gopal Nandini, welcome. Would you like, please sit anywhere.
I just want to grab one.
Yes, please, please, please. So, this understanding, my dear devotees, is very important, as I said in the lecture. Without this spiritual understanding, all the spiritual activities which you do, including kirtan, do not yield a full result. It is based on a wrong understanding, Nima, that I'm American, I'm of Indian origins, I'm, you know, this whole thing, we have to detach from this and come to the spiritual position in our life. Is this, do you understand the necessity for this? Please do ask a few questions, because I want to do kirtan with you by explaining to you the method of which is given in our tradition, how to come to this position. It's called Buddha Shuddhi. Buddha means the material elements, and Shuddhi means to clean ourselves, to become pure or free or released or relieved from this material wrong understanding. This is a basis of good kirtan. Any questions, my dear devotees? This is your chance.
Maharaj, I have a question.
Yes, Nimai.
So we say that we're the soul, but like, how do we identify the soul in our mind? Or like, we're not the mind either. So like, when we're thinking, how do we say that this is me, this is the soul, and this is the mind? How do we separate the mind from our actual self?
Very, very good. Do you feel this is a good question? How do I practically now? Can I guide you into a practical realization of this? I will give a guided meditation. Is that all right with you? Or this is the best. I can show it the best when we do a guided meditation. Because Nimai asked for something practical. Remember, he didn't say the concept is clear, but how do I realize it? I request you to sit tall for a moment. No, Mataji, you're welcome to use the chair. The idea is just you have to have your spine straight when you sit. Anything any one of you requires for sitting comfortably? We still have some of these cushions where you can sit high. Bhakti Gamya, you would like to take? Yes, please. Anyone? Nityananda? Good? Good, good. Fine. Is he an English language Bhagavad Gita? There is. There is, good, good. Can you open it at 2:22, please, and give the book to me? Thank you. Yeah. So, please sit. We will start now. Please look around, because I will soon ask you to close your eyes, just to make yourself a little bit familiar with the surroundings. You will feel more secure. Now center yourself. Do a few deep breaths. Inhale. And whenever you exhale, exhale a little bit more than you're usually doing it. And a little bit more. When you're ready, please close your eyes and continue breathing. But now breathe naturally without forcing more of the air out of you. You're surrounded by an ocean of air, so much air. Whenever you breathe in, take a little of that air. And whenever you exhale, some of that air returns back to the ocean. You can watch this process. Therefore, you are different from the air which comes in and out of you. Now become aware of the cloth on your body. Where is the cloth touching your body? Maybe at the arms, maybe at the legs. Maybe at the shoulders. Feel where the cloth is touching your body. You can observe the cloth. Therefore, it is different from you. Now become aware of the body. Become aware of your feet. Become aware of your both legs. Become aware of the place where you sit. Your awareness up to the trunk of your body, where the organs are situated. Become aware of the shoulders, the arms, both of your hands. Aware of the neck, and finally your face. Did you know that there's something like 20,000 facial muscles which control the expression of your face? Relax them now. Take on your resting face. You can observe your body from the feet up to your legs, the trunk of your body, shoulders, head. That is why you're different from your body. Continue to breathe. Now look at your thoughts. If you don't think anything at this moment, look at your mood. Are you enthusiastic? Are you sad? Thoughtful? Melancholic, a little uncertain what you are doing. Anything which comes up, observe it much like you would observe clouds which change their outer appearance. The fact that you can observe your thoughts, your inner moods, means that you are different from them. Who is that you? That you who sees the air coming in and out of your lungs? That you who observes the body, that you who observes the mind, the thoughts, the moods, focus your attention now on the heart area, where the soul resides, and please listen to the Bhagavad Gita's ancient wisdom, which gives you an information who that self is. Never was there a time when I, Krishna, did not exist, nor you, nor all these living entities, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. No. That which pervades the entire body is indestructible. No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul. For the soul, there's neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He's unborn, eternal, ever existing and primeval. He's not slain when the body is slain. We will now sing from this position a kirtan.
Thank you.
Asked me a very important question. The question was, how can we practically come into our spiritual identity as Aham Brahmasmi. I'm spirit, I'm not the body. And the answer to my question was, Nimai, let us now meditate. What I wanted to show Nimai and all of you is that the fact there is an observed phenomena and a different, distinct observer who views the body and the mind means that there must be something separate. It can't be identical. See, this thermos can never observe itself or see itself because there is no mind and no soul. We know it's iron, no? If I would be identical with the table, I wouldn't be able to observe the table. Or if I would be Jai Krishna, Gaur Krishna, I would not be able to see him 2 meters away from me and leaning on his left or taking assistance from his left knee to sit more easy. I have to be separate to see all this. The observer, this is a point of philosophy but also of experience, is always different from the observed. I had once a very painful surgery done to me, really painful. I was sharing my room in the hospital with a person who had the same surgery done. He wailed the whole night. And I went over to his bed. I mean, I couldn't went over, but I leaned over and said, don't worry, I have the same thing. It is so excruciating painful. Now, I will not tell you what it is because you would faint. So when it was done, I somehow could bring myself to a bench on a lake and told the devotees, if you could just leave me for an hour, I just need to collect my strings. And nature, I felt really like someone who came from the battlefield and whose wounds were still not closed. So I was there and I looked at the beautiful nature and noted all of us, the trees, the ducks, one deer which came and joined me, because the deer could see this person is practically not dangerous any longer. He's sitting there. Even a wild pig came and sat next to me. I mean, not directly next, 20 meters. And I noticed all of us are breathing the same air from the same air. Then I noticed we all are in different bodies now. I'm in a human body, the deer is in a deer body, the duck in the body of waterfowl, it's called. But we are souls, we are one family, and it was nice, we all were together. And not, I can't say that the wild boar meditated, because maybe he just needed some peaceful place to lie down and forget that human beings are hunting wild boars. It was just such a beautiful scene of souls in different bodies. So in my thing, And so I could see this. I was a neutral observer. I was looking through my eyes into the world. I looked at my body. I understood, wow, it's really wounded. The wounds have not closed, but I'm not the body. It's very practical, Nimai. I would suggest to you, did it work for you? Could you go into this experience?
Yeah, it was a bit hard to separate myself from my thoughts, though.
Yeah. Do think you are like immovable and see the thoughts like you see clouds passing by a mountain. I always, you know, you have to practice that a little. I do this a lot because I'm supposed to be a monk. I have to have some realization of that we are different from the body and the mind. It was difficult for me also because we are so much used to think that what is thinking is us. But Neem, I have good news for you. You are not your mind. Whatever things are going on, sometimes very good things are going on, but sometimes also things which burden us. We are not. I was today discussing this with one of my assistants. He came in and he brought say it so that you don't know who it is. He brought something, and then I made a comment. I said, I cannot eat certain things. And immediately he thought, oh, maybe in my preparations there are these things. And I said, no, you always do everything very nice. It's only your mind which tells you you're not good enough and you make mistakes. It's not the reality. You're doing everything nice. Let us look at this preparation. It is totally free from all the things which I just mentioned. Look, it's only a mind thought. You are free from this, Nimai. That the mind tells you, I'm not good enough, I'm a little bit too young. I'm a little bit unrealized and foolish. The mind has always these thoughts, no? And no one likes me. Why should anyone like me? I'm totally dislikable. The whole world thinks Nima is the best, but Nima thinks Nima is the worst. It's the mind which kills us. It can be, it's described as either a friend or an enemy. In either case, if it's a friend, it's separate from you. If it's an enemy, it's also separate from you. Don't take your mind so serious. Ha ha ha. How does this sound? Practice to not take your thoughts so serious. Don't we sometimes have these thoughts where we think, this person is really, this person is not good. And then we think, why do I always think like this? Why do I have to always judge a person? No? It's just the mind. It's not you, Niman. And this you need to, by introspection you can see this. Some of my students are very tired. My dear students, please sleep enough. The sleep deprived students. Just like this, what just came out is different for me. The thoughts are also different. Please look somewhere else. A little embarrassing now. So yes, In japa, you need to learn this nimanji. So, sorry, I mean, now I should maybe take you off the hook, you know. We all need to learn this in japa. When all of a sudden the cinema of the mind starts, totally free of cost. You see some scene of the past, full color TV, when we were young and the world was young. Then we see another movie, the hate movie. This person is really the greatest fool. Then another movie, the romantic movie comes. Oh, ooh, ooh, feels so. Boom, another movie starts. Get out of the theater, movie theater of the mind. You have to just leave it when you want to do good kirtan and good japa. Gaur Krishna is writing this down. Get out of the movie theater of the mind. This is very important. Oh, even Sunil is typing it to his friend in London. You should send such a little SMS to you. Get out of the movie theater of your mind. It's all cheap junk movies, mostly. Unless you learn to purify the mind and put some good impressions, good memories into the mind, and then they will come up and you will revisit them. This is very important to understand you are not the body and the mind. There was once a great devotee. He was a guru. One evening, he sat by the sacred Yamuna River. The parrots were returning to their nests or their branches on the trees. The simple farmers came carrying the fruits or the fruits of the field on their heads so that they could go very early in the morning to the marketplaces to sell them. Everything was a homecoming scene, and he felt an increasing discomfort. His disciple asked him, "I see your expression is worried and sorrowful. What is plagiarizing your mind? What is disturbing you?" And he answered, "I am designated to be a guru. But how will it be possible for me to guide souls to Krishna? How will it be possible for the impure to ever reach this totally pure? I will not continue being a guru. I will not give initiations unless the Lord personally gives me an answer." So he remained sitting as the night slowly approached and enveloped the river with a thick blanket of darkness. He sat there, crying, "My Lord, it is not possible for the impure to ever meet the pure." Just like the eyes will never be able to behold the sunlight from 1 meter distance. "We will never be able to behold you, my Lord. We will never be able to enter the mystery of your understanding. How can I guide souls to you?" He was lamenting like this. He was crying. Now in the midst of the night, a sudden flash of light illumined the darkness. And the Lord stood before his devotee in his threefold bending form. His head was tilted a little to the left. His hip was tilted a little to the right. His knees were tilted. He had a forest garland and a beautiful yellowish dhoti. It was more golden yellowish. And he smiled and said, "O Vallabha, my child, do not despair. It is possible for the impure to enter the pure, because in contact with the pure, the impure will also become pure. Think of the many dirty channels of waste water which come from the mountain villages and into the Ganga and bring the dirty, waste water into the floods of the Ganga. In contact with the pure Ganga's water, the dirty village water is also becoming pure. So even impure souls who come in contact with me become pure." That's the whole idea of chanting the holy names of the Lord. We are in contact with something so pure as the names of the Lord, and we as a result become purified. You must have seen that. No? O Vallabha, do not despair, but understand this fact very carefully. And I will now teach you a meditation which will help the impure souls to contact me. And he gave him a meditation which is known in that line, it's a different line of teaching, as the Brahma Gayatri Mantra, as far as I know. I'm not sure about it's when they get their second initiation, then they get this mantra. It's in Sanskrit. And lo and behold, if you study the our Vaishnava tradition, we have a mantra which is very, very akin or similar. It's called the Buddha Shuddhi mantra, the mantra which will help us to become released from our illusions. And I want to chant with you. I will tell you this mantra in English, and then request you to meditate about this, and you will see as you do this a very, very nice effect in your chanting. I'm so grateful to Nimai. He should be known as Nimai Pandit, the scholar, for asking this very nice question. Practically, we need to know how to do it. And the one is one method I told you, it's just you come into the observer position. You observe the body and you observe your thoughts. You don't identify with them. It's called the neutral observer position. If you want to take a note, this is an important note. Take on the neutral observer position. Neutral means you don't identify, you remain neutral. It's not good, it's not bad. It's almost like when you are seeing a movie. Have you seen, some of you have seen movies or see movies? Yeah? Do you sometimes feel this movie is really not good? Do you feel, and then there are sometimes unnecessary violence is there in the movie, or unnecessary scenes are there. Then you go back and you see, my mother told me this when I looked TV, when there was a battle, she always said, they used tomato ketchup, it's not real blood. And I took that as a hint, and then I was not shocked when I saw the battle movies. I was not, tomato soup, tomato cheese, what is the problem? No problem, huh? Mother knows. this neutral observer position, you need to take on in your life. You need to see the life from this position and give yourself good good advices. I have a life school where I teach this. It's not that I have a life school means I'm developing it since 15 years. It's almost out. Soon you will see it in the world, and it will be you will learn many things like this there. But Srila Prabhupada, my exalted spiritual master, he used to say this. So Krishna consciousness means one is not identifying himself with this material body. He's identifying himself in his original constitutional position. Aham Brahmasmi. That means I am soul. And from that level, you can come to Krishna consciousness. It is really, really, really wonderful. Today it was found, and today it was sent and received by Gokrishna. And he handed this print out to me. This just before the lecture it came. So, yeah. I would like to now do with you a small meditation, because we need to train this a little bit. This time I will do this mantra. You remember the mantra which the Lord gave to this devotee, which will guide souls to him. This gets now, we go now a little bit more advanced. No problem, isn't it? We can go a little higher. No problem. I just need to see with my little band here. This is good. Nityananda, it's not such a big hall, otherwise I would have requested you to sit close, but I think you can see everything. And my dear devotees, again I request you to sit tall. Yes, it is good if you sit properly. Just look a little bit around. Focus on the sounds that you presently hear. I hear a fly. I've ordered some birds to chirp, but they are late. Most probably they eat some prasadam. Try to catch some sounds, please. Can you hear this? I believe a car coming. Now shift the focus to your breathing. Become aware of your incoming and outgoing breath. Just observe the flow of your breathing for some time. This will calm your mind when some thoughts are coming, Nimai, don't identify with them, let them go. Like clouds which come and go. Very important, it is not a problem if thoughts come. But try to not identify with them. Maybe a thought tells you, my God, this is boring. No, but it's good that you have a thought, but don't identify with it. Maybe a thought comes, I really need more sleep. It's not good, it's not bad, it's just the thought. Now bring your attention to your heart. Remember, it's here where the soul is and the Lord. I will read to you the mantra which helps us to detach from the body and mind and to attach ourselves to Krishna, whose name we chant. I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna. But because of my misfortune, I have been inimical toward him. Since time immemorial, I have been identifying myself with the body and been continuously wandering in the repeated cycle of birth and death in the material world, suffering the burning threefold miseries. But now my fortune has changed. As a result of some unimaginable good fortune, I know that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. I know that I am an infinitesimal spiritual being. And I know that I am completely apart from the gross and subtle body. I am following now Srila Prabhupada. And I have obtained the good fortune to be able to glorify Krishna. Either on the altar is Radha Gopinath, or right here in the library, where I can sing their glories.
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna.
Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, 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 Krishna. So, my dear devotees, now for this workshop, there's only one thing left which you need to know. Do we have a timepiece?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. We have a perfect time. Let me just, before starting with the next, I request you to turn to your neighbors. You can also build groups of three. I see the three of you are here sitting together. My request is, discuss with your neighbor about the two things which we have done. First of all, we have understood, we have dealt with Buddha Shuddhi, understanding we are different from the body. And the second, we have tried to turn to Krishna, yes? In our kirtan, through the holy name. Please talk about your experiences with each other for just 5 minutes. It's important that we churn it and we learn a little bit from each other. Please start.
Yeah.
Timepiece, and the second is, what is our last melody today? Yes, wonderful. So, was it fruitful? Please don't forget this. I have at the moment not my handouts with me. Any one of you has the handouts? Let me see if there is something in the handouts. Thank you so much. Which will help you to reinforce. Yes. Yes. On page 10, if you kindly look, there you have the mantra from the Pancharatra Pradipa. It's the first thing, Buddha Shuddhi Meditation. Remember, I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna, but because of my misfortune, I have been inimical toward him since time immemorial. This is the mantra which really helps you to go into this mood. I have been identifying myself with the body and been continuously wandering in the repeated cycle of birth and death in the material world. It's what I read to you, so you might refer back to you to this in your own spiritual practice, please. Mm-hmm. And another meditation in this light is on page 8. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sambandha meditation. I, an infinitesimal conscious being, am Lord Krishna's eternal servant. These are three steps which the chanter does according to the Harinam Chintamani. Mataji, I will return this to you at the end of this session. I will just need it. So, the last item today, where we want to have a workshop based on the lecture this morning, is, you know, to understand that I'm a soul, I'm different from the body and the mind. Alone is not enough. In Vaishnavism, we make another step, we surrender or connect with Krishna. That is very important when you do your kirtan. If you sit there, yes, aham brahmasmi, soham, soham, soham. It is helpful as a start, but not as a goal. We do that only to complete our journey. Each journey, they say, starts with a step out of the house. Huh? Have you heard this? Each journey starts with a step out of the house. I have seen Gokrishna's house is where the Wembley station is, and I have seen it from above the ground. We were flying about above it. Huh? So he is now here. He has made a step out of the house. This step out of the house is important in the kirtan also. You come out. I am a soul of it. I am a conscious being. I am Lord Krishna's eternal servant. And then you connect with Krishna. Lord Krishna is the all-powerful master of my life. This is how you do kirtan. It's a relationship. Kirtan is a relationship. Never forget this. Kirtan is all about a relationship. So, one mantra which helps you to go into the meditational or into the relationship aspect of kirtan is a famous mantra which I have written down on page 9 for you. It is, I hope it's page 9, let me see. 8, 9, no, wrong, page 10. It's there. Ayi nanda tanu yakinkaram. It's there. It means where the devotee turns to Krishna in this mood of surrender. Oh my Lord, Oh Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda, I'm your eternal servant. But because of my own fruitive acts, that means my acts done out of desire for sense gratification, because of this, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nations. Now please be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. Wonderful, no? This is a prayer which the devotee is chanting to Krishna. Please take me out of this ocean of birth and death. Now when you chant Hare Krishna, my dear devotees, it's good if you know the background. It's not expected, however, that you every day go into these meditations or thoughts. But what I do every day in the place where I live is I sit down and chant, and in the middle of chanting, when I note I'm a little bit tired or distracted, then I chant such mantras and read such prayers which immediately put me back on the track, on the right track. Good. This surrendering ourselves to Krishna should be done in kirtan, and I will guide you now in this. I will request Sunil to take this pair of cartels, and when I give you a sign, only then please join us. Prepare ourselves for this kirtan. You can sit in whatever position you feel comfortable at this moment. It's all right. Just let us reflect before we enter the kirtan that really we are infinitesimal, that means very small beings. We are servants in our constitutional position. And although we have forgotten Krishna for so many long years, in the material world, we will now surrender to Krishna. Sometimes it helps to look at the deities. You can look above me. We do this kirtan course to learn the art of spiritual music, which is always for the Lord. Think of yourself as a soul addressing the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Thank you very, very much for your wonderful participation. See, kirtan is a relationship. In closing, I would like to tell you this amazing story. There were 10 great devotees, exalted devotees, walking on a forest path to the forest, through the forest, to go to the next town. All of a sudden, from the underbrush, came a hunter. He was totally distorted in his mind. He was confused, bewildered. He stammered. He couldn't talk. And he was out of his mind. So the leader of the devotees said, "Well, what is with you? What can we help you?" And the hunter said, there's something which just happened to me, which changes my whole life. What happened to you? It's dramatic. Tell us. Well, I was hunting. I'm a hunter. I had drawn my bow and pointed at an especially fat rabbit. And I was just about to lose the arrow when the rabbit saw his precarious situation and started to do this thing to me. What did he do? The rabbit ran towards me and circled my feet three times. Zoom, zoom, zoom. And then in a gesture of utter surrender, placed his head on my feet. The rabbit had no other recourse and took shelter in me, the most cruelest, obnoxious hunter. First, by habit, I aimed my arrow at the rabbit, who looked at me and put his head more firmly on my feet. Then I thought, I can't do this, I can't kill this rabbit. It has taken shelter at my feet. I said to rabbit, you may go in peace. And I shook my foot, and the rabbit understood, danger's over, and bounced into the forest. Now I'm thinking, what should I do with my life? These are helpless creatures. Should I continue hunting? Should I not? So as he spoke and came to this line, should I not? The great devotee fainted and fell on the forest floor. What? Have I killed now one of you, said the hunter, with my strange story? They sprinkled some water on the devotees and wiped it, and he came back, this devotee. And all his disciples, he was a guru, said, Guru Maharaj, why have you fainted? Yes, I have fainted. I was thinking, the rabbit did not read the Bhagavad Gita where the Lord says, surrender unto me. But the rabbit understood in his precarious situation of having a deadly arrow focused on him. He has no other shelter, no other recourse in order to get out of danger than to surrender to the hunter. The hunter, on the other side, was a cruel person. No mercy was found in his heart before. But when he saw that the rabbit surrendered unto him, he let go of his... he didn't kill the rabbit, but provided it shelter. Alas, alas, why am I so foolish? I have read the Gita, not like the rabbit who has not read. I have read the entire Gita back and forth. There the Lord says, if one surrenders unto him, he will provide shelter. One should not fear. And the Lord, on the other side, is not a cruel hunter. His heart is overflowing with mercy for the conditioned soul. But still, I have not surrendered. What unfortunate person I am. And he fainted the second time. My dear devotees, when you do kirtan, remember this story. Run out of the movie of your mind. You have heard this today. Go to Krishna. Take shelter at his lotus feet and he will certainly accept you and make you his own. Hare Krishna. With this thought, I want to leave you. I wish you a wonderful lunch prasadam with a good healthy digestion. And what will you do in the afternoon? What?
Practice.
Practice and sing. What a wonderful afternoon you have. Yes. Then, if you have time, we will hear in the evening more about Lord Chaitanya and Shrivas Pandit and after the arati. And sing some more. You know, Kirtan, how do you learn to sail a boat? That you have to sail. How do you learn to eat? Well, eat. How do you learn to present? You have to present, like yesterday, the three lions amongst the presenters presented to us. So how do you do kirtan? You sing the holy name. This is how you learn it. Hare Krishna.